This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 2.
Packer and Durham from the basement. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Of course, we are streaming live on the ESPN app. We also have you covered on Sirius XM Channel 371. Matter of fact, Wes listened to the show, driving into it this morning.
I was tardy for the first 5 minutes if you're just joining us.
Western will give you the full 60 minutes here in hour.
You're going to get 60 minutes.
In case you missed anything, last night we had a couple upper glob games and a lower glob game. The upper glob winners included Virginia and NC State.
Right.
And Virginia last night in a 1st-to-50 game in overtime knocked off the Irish 50-49. A grand total of 5 points were scored in overtime. That's all it took for the Hoos to take care of business.
Full credit to Danny Neckel. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Danny, N-E-C-K-E-L, who is a sports blogger with Advertising, Media, and Politics, who I think is a Virginia fan, who tweeted last night, Virginia is 4-2 when scoring 50 points or less in a game this season. Okay? Every other team in America is 8-5-10.
Is that crazy?
Well, they say styles make fights, Pack. Virginia's got a certain style.
Yeah, they do. And Mike Bray last night afterwards said, hey, we knew it was going to be a rock fight, and he was right. But, man, a golden opportunity for Notre Dame last night if they could have pulled that off. They did not. They still have Duke this weekend, so they'll figure that one out. But for Virginia, I still think they're the fourth-best team in the league. I don't think they're first, second, or third. I think they're the fourth-best team in the conference, and a really critical win for them to basically hold serve last night.
Yeah, and all is not lost for Notre Dame because they've got Duke, obviously, and Durham, but what they can't let have happen is this. Win or lose Saturday against the Blue Devils, and we talked how well they played Monday night against Florida State and what a gut check it was, and Mike Krzyzewski was happy with his team after the ball game. Notre Dame is still that team, in my opinion. They're the team that can go to a place like Greensboro and shoot it well enough to be a problem. Now, against Virginia, you get lulled into play in a certain way. The tempo of the game is hard to change. That's just how talented the Cavaliers are. But I still think Notre Dame is a very dangerous team in a tournament format like the ACC in Greensboro.
And your man Mooney goes double-double again, 11-14, no surprise on that front. But they only shoot 33% from the field. And to have won that game, that number had to be higher.
Well, they had to get – you had to make the chippies, too. You had to make the shots in traffic. And I'm continually amazed when you watch Virginia play and they defend you. How many teams look like they're getting a good shot and the shot doesn't go?
Right.
You know, because there's somebody else behind the primary defender. There's another angle being cut off, all those things. It really is just kind of fascinating to watch happen.
We discussed North Carolina, which we'll get to, I'm sure, here in a second.
Right.
But for Virginia, after the offensive output against Louisville,
yes,
I was interested to see if that mojo would have continued. It did not.
No.
And what you saw last night is who Virginia is. Let's be honest. That's who they are.
You mean Carolina?
No, Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Yeah, who you see with Virginia, absolutely. Virginia is, to me, very much who they were a year ago, just not as talented shooting.
Right. Instead of a 65-point number, it's going to be a low 50 number.
And here's the thing. They're going to be nights, and we've seen them, where Syracuse is going to hit shots and beat Virginia in overtime.
That's it.
There are going to be nights where NC State is able to get stuff going inside with Funderburk and Virginia doesn't handle that very well, or NC State finds the crack and Virginia doesn't shoot it very well. And guess what? NC State's going to win the game.
Yeah, the 70-something you saw Virginia put on Louisville is few and far between, right? That is not going to be what to expect when you play a Virginia team. But here's what they are going to do. They are going to defend like nobody's business, and they're going to make life miserable for you.
I would be interested in hearing from Virginia fans where they rate this team defensively.
Well, it has to be good because they just don't score.
Well, that's why I'm asking. In Tony Bennett's recent tenure in Charlottesville, was last year's team so gifted offensively that they were able to overcome maybe a subpar defensive effort? In my mind, where Virginia is offensively this year, they have to bring it defensively every night.
Mm-hmm.
In order to beat the really good teams, Notre Dame and the top of the chart, give yourself a chance against you know, Louisville, Duke, and Florida State, you've got to be excellent defensively and hope you're on par offensively, I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So
so that's one of the upper globs last night. NC State Syracuse got after it in the dome.
Yeah.
Elijah Hughes gets injured, only plays 3 minutes. Groin pull, can't go. That's a problem because he's averaging 19 a game, and all of a sudden you get zip from Elijah Hughes. Somebody else has to step up. That did happen. Gerard goes for 30. But NC State makes 11 threes last night, Wes.
Yeah.
Kevin Keats remains perfect against the Orange. He's now 3-0 all-time against Jim Boeheim's guys in a really, really important win for NC State.
Yeah, absolutely. I think and John Crispin and Dan Shulman and Brooke Weisbrod were there last night on ESPN2 for the coverage, and they showed a lot of the blind resume stuff during the game. And you saw just how big a win this would be for NC State, given some of the analytics involved. I thought C.J. Bryce was tremendous in the first half. That's a big three, by the way, from Markel Johnson. Jericho Helms is throwing in threes. But this is a big win for NC State now.
And the kind of game that you expected from NC State all year, right? We saw them early, and they could score. And you're like, you know, that's going to make NC State a dangerous team. Because there's not many teams, whether we're talking about the ACC or really nationwide, that offensively naturally could give you 80-plus.
Yeah.
I know it was a 79 spot last night, but to do it on the road, Daniels and Bryce combined for 42. State makes 11 threes. I can't emphasize what an important win that was for NC State last night, and a tough loss for Syracuse, where, again, you have to defend home and hope to steal one against a ranked team. I think Syracuse has now put themselves in a position they're going to have to win two games against ranked teams on the road to get in.
I think Syracuse is a school, one of a couple in the ACC, that we're going to have this NCAA, potential NCAA conversation about. And I'll go back to what we talked about seemingly just about every week at some point, and that is the value of non-conference wins. They don't have one.
That's why what's left on the schedule for Syracuse, mm-hmm. when you go through the last 6-7 games here, they're going to have a pair of games in the league against ranked teams on the road. And I think the loss last night almost forces them
right.
to have to win two. And, you know, and here's the other thing. You're up 68-62. You must close. How often have we talked in the last 10 days now that we've got this thing squeezing down the last couple of weeks? When you have a lead of note, mm-hmm. you have to close the deal. And when you don't, it is a monster L.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Third ball game of the night was one toward the bottom. Lower glob, as Pat calls
it. Lower glob.
Lower glob. Wake Forest scored early and often, led by 26.
26 was the biggest lead of the night.
And ends up winning by 17 over North Carolina, who cut it to 9 at one point, but – in all honesty, it was the Deacons' night in Winston-Salem at Joel Coliseum.
If you're a North Carolina basketball fan, you cannot spin this. This was not a very good performance. I mentioned Cole Anthony after the game said, we didn't even listen to the scouting report. That is a bad sign.
Yep.
Shoot, I mean, there was nothing positive about this game in light blue. And if you're a Wake Forest fan, first win against North Carolina since 2014. We mentioned the pink games. They've now won 6 straight of those. But for the Deacs, they've given you kind of signs of life. Every now and then you'll get a glimmer of Wake Forest looking pretty good. I thought they looked enthused and dialed in and wanting to play last night.
Yep.
I cannot say the same thing about North Carolina.
Well, and the road gets no easier for the Tar Heels.
Nope.
Because Virginia visits Smith Center on Saturday. Wake Forest goes to Miami. Carolina is treading lightly toward history and not in a good way.
Never finish last.
Right.
Have a chance.
Yep.
Really have a chance.
Yep. Got to go find that switch or something, because the back end of their schedule is the most difficult in the ACC. We talked about that.
Yep.
Still got to go to Louisville. They've been to Florida State.
Got to go to Duke.
Got Duke on the road.
Got to go to Notre Dame.
Got to go to Notre Dame.
Syracuse left on there too somewhere.
Syracuse, NC State at home.
I mean, it's not – I mean, and here's the other thing. When you're one of those teams, when I'm talking about like Duke and North Carolina, and you're having one of those kind of years,
yep.
the rest of the league is excited to bury you.
Yep.
And again, I thought you saw that last night with Wake. Hey, it had been a long time since the Deacs had beaten the Heels. And you know what? They started to feel it. And all of a sudden, they were just out there playing basketball, man. They weren't thinking about anything. They were just making shots and wearing them out. Wow. And so North Carolina's got to bring the intensity. If you give me that last night's effort, mm-hmm. They'll lose a ton more games.
Well,
just telling you.
The other part about this is Jordan Cornette and Dave O'Brien ran the stat last night. Carolina won the game last year, I guess, in Chapel Hill by like 38 or 40-some points and hit 16 threes in the game last year. Well, last year is last year, and this year is this year. That's because right. The crowd that played there last night wasn't going to hit 16 threes.
No, and that's
and not
why,
great shot selection either against a team. And all due respect to Wake Forest here, Pac, not a great defensive team is Wake Forest, noted in ACC stats.
Well, look at these shots.
There's some bad shots here.
I mean, and as we pointed out, after, again, both teams were coming off really gut-wrenching losses over the weekend, and you just wanted to see how would you respond. You and I talked about this yesterday with North Carolina. I wanted to see how North Carolina was going to respond. I thought their best effort of the year was Saturday night against Duke. I wanted to see if they said, hey, you know what? I hate that we lost, but we're going to go out to improve something against Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. Here's what they showed me last night. Yeah, whatever. Let's just roll the ball out there. That is not good enough.
Yeah.
If you're wearing baby blue. I'm just telling you. And I'm not – if you're a North Carolina fan, you know what I'm telling you is true. So, hey, good luck. Here comes Virginia next, and they will defend you. So –
it's a 1-2 game Saturday night.
Oh, shoot. I thought last night was a 1-2 game for both of them. And Wake Forest looked like they were really dialed in and interested to play. North Carolina looked like, hey, just get out of here.
Carolina now tied for 14th with Miami at 3-10. And, of course, the Canes host Boston College tonight. Wake Forest moves up into 13th spot behind the crowd at 5-8 that features Georgia Tech and Clemson and Virginia Tech. By the way, the schedule tonight, BC at Miami. Louisville is in Atlanta in a game you can hear with Chris Cotter and Chris Patola here on ACC Network. And Clemson is at Pittsburgh, 9 o'clock.
A lot of middle glob tonight.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the Wednesday night schedule in the league and its impact. But a quick reminder to you about Bald Men on Campus, Pac. It's our Friday night staple, right?
Along with wrestling.
Along with Friday night duels. In fact, this will follow Friday night duels this week. 9 o'clock for LaFonso Ellis, Jay Billis, and Seth Greenberg. On the road with College Game Day, they join us for an exclusive half hour of ACC basketball. Get you ready for the weekend. Talk about the week that has ensued. 9 o'clock Friday night right here on ACC Network and streaming on the ESPN app. When we come back, we look ahead to tonight. BC on the road in South Florida. Nice change of pace for the Jim Christian's Eagles from a weather perspective. Clemson's at Pittsburgh. Louisville is at Georgia Tech. Full preview of Wednesday night's ACC basketball action coming up with Packer and Durham on ACC Network and Sirius XM 27.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Joe Giglio, the Raleigh News and Observer, coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. We look forward to that. Dan McDonald, Louisville, baseball. Yeah. They are going to be loaded and open up at Ole Miss. Great series. Start things off. College baseball starts Friday, by the way. Just a reminder for everybody. Friday, baseball. Get it all over you.
By the way, the world's most prestigious pickup game is this weekend.
Is that right?
Yeah. Familiar with that?
I am not.
NBA All-Star game?
I won't watch that.
It's a great game.
Really? You watch that?
Guys do stuff during that game that they would never do in a regular season game. And it's just hilarious to watch what they try and do. I mean, like, bounce pass up off the glass. Some guy catches it and dunks it. I mean, it's just it's crazy what guys do.
You're really dialed into the NBA All-Star Weekend.
I will watch a little – no, All-Star Weekend, absolutely not. But the game, I always find highlights of that game to be interesting.
I've always thought that I could score 10 points in the NBA All-Star
game. You could. That's what I'm saying.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
That is all you need to know.
And never go down the floor. Stand at your end and score 10 points.
I never cross midcourt. Right. I'm not sure I sweat. Score 10 in that game.
You'd sweat. You get a bead.
That one doesn't do anything. I got to be honest. That does nothing.
I'm just amazed at the stuff they try to do in an All-Star game because nobody plays defense.
I mean, nobody.
Nobody, yeah. Good night of basketball. This is an interesting night for the ACC because it's got – you know why? Because it looks sublime on paper.
Well, you've got. There's always movement in the glob, always, and that's why anytime there is people playing,
yeah,
you got to pay attention.
Sure,
I am curious to see what Louisville and Georgia Tech Because the first go-round at Louisville, that game was a tight, tight game. Louisville had to really work to beat Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. BC, Miami, we'll lead off with. Jim Christian's guys continue to play good basketball. Miami's got to get healthy at some point in time.
Chris Lights played problem. The other day.
I know. Their backcourt has just been decimated. Mm-hmm. If and when they ever can get whole,
right.
I think they can beat some people. Don't you?
Yes, absolutely. I thought Rodney Miller has made some nice progress for him, but they got to have Likes and they got to have McGusty.
Right.
The freshman Isaiah Wong's a good player.
Not bad.
Yeah, I've been impressed with his development this year from a guy we didn't know quite what we would get, but that looks like a guy that can grow in the program. Boston College, okay, guess what? Nice road win at Blacksburg in overtime. Now let's see if you can validate it. The old Skins game in golf pack, can you take the win and now travel it to Miami and get another win with NC State showing up on Sunday at Conte Forum? I think this will be an interesting game simply from the standpoint of who can BC maintain its momentum. People are forgetting Boston College has won 6 games.
I know.
In conference. I mean, BC, with all the injuries and all the things going on, Boston College has had a fairly nice year. They've gotten some things going. Can they take advantage in the second half? This is the kind of game here tonight that if you're going to take advantage, maybe, clear Tuesday, play Wednesday, guess what? This is your kind of game.
Canes have lost 9 of the last 11. I just told you, they just have not been whole. But yep. Jim Larrañaga has done a nice job just holding this thing together. And I know you look at the record, go ahead, Pac, they haven't won many games. Hey, their team at the time that they rolled out, 5 or 6 scholarship teams, and that's all they got left.
Right.
They've been more than competitive in some of those games. But if they could get whole, they could win some games coming down the stretch. Yeah. I believe that.
8 o'clock start tonight on ACC Network. You get Georgia Tech in Louisville. Second meeting, as Mark said. Chris Cotter, Chris Patola will be there for our coverage. The Cards and Jackets played a very interesting game. About what, 2 weeks ago, it seems like?
Less longer than that.
Yeah. I mean, just a ball game that never, Louisville looked like they were going to run off. Georgia Tech had a first half lead, and the Cards were able to salt it into like a 2-possession game.
January 22nd, they hooked up, and Louisville had all kinds of issues at home with the Jackets.
Right.
All kinds of problems.
And I thought Malik Williams talked about it yesterday. It was all the different defensive swaps that Georgia Tech makes during a game. Jackets will have to shoot it well. Louisville will. Louisville last year came to Atlanta and had a big time crowd follow them. And I'm not convinced there won't be a lot of Card fans there tonight either. I think it'll happen.
Easy trip. And you also wonder too, I mean, the run that Louisville is on, that win Saturday against Virginia was so impressive because they took Virginia's best shot in every sense of the word. You know, they play great D, but Virginia offensively made shots, took the lead late. You're wondering, all right, how's Louisville going to respond to this? Coach got teed up. They responded. They were great down the stretch. And Louisville's been on a great, great run here with this winning streak. You just wonder, though, can they carry it all the way through the regular season? I do think at some point in time they will stumble in the regular season.
By the way, that win got a lot better after Virginia beat Notre Dame last night.
No question about it. But there's a reason the Cards are number one in the league right now.
Let's go to the phones. Robin, the Duke fans' long-awaited return to Packer and Durham. Robin,
hey, buddy. Hey, good to talk to you again there, Wes. How the heck are you, brother? You taking good care
pretty
of yourself?
Good. How you doing?
Hey,
I'm taking real good care of myself. Thank you so much for asking.
Hey, sounds great. I know you was late, but to tell you what, I've been late, too. Sorry you didn't get a chance to call in the past couple of days and chime in about the mighty Blue Devil wins there on Saturday and Monday, but got caught up with work, and since I was out sick there for about almost a month, missed a lot of work. But anyway, hey, Pac, I just wanted to say, buddy, that the mighty Blue Devils rolled in there to Chapel Hill, and almost for 3.5 minutes to go in the game, almost cut it off. Me and Brad had some wings, and we smoked, put got the old smoker out, put some wings on. I thought there for a while we was going to choke on them the way my mighty Blue Devils was playing.
Well, you know, I told you about a month. I told
remember,
you
remember
about
when you
a month
called
ago,
us a month ago, started
you were rattling
chirping.
Through the schedule, and you didn't even bring up North Carolina. And I think I reminded you, I said, you know, when these two get together, and I know North Carolina's
stuff
having
happens.
A down year, crazy stuff
right.
happens in these games, and you just can't just assume that that was a W. So, you know,
right.
lesson learned. You found a way to win. Your guys figured it out somehow.
Right.
And
right.
you move on down the road, my man.
Yeah, exactly. And I tell you what, I don't know if you guys was talking about it yesterday or Monday, but if they can get 8, 10, or like you say, 13 points from Jordan Goldwire. Now, Wes, I do know one thing, buddy. You asked
me
what would be the guy be good for the game against Carolina, and I said Matthew Hurt. He wound up with 0 points, 4 fouls, and rebound. But he come around against Florida State, and he looked good in that. But I tell you what, I just hope when they go, when Notre Dame rolls in Saturday at 4 o'clock, I don't think Coach K will let them have a down, be kind of a loud going on, you know, with my mighty Blue Devils. But you know, since they had those two tough games. But I tell you what, buddy, hey – My tickets are looking good for the Final Four for the mighty Blue Devils coming in Atlanta. Hey, looking strong.
All right, Robin. We appreciate the update. Get back
yes,
to work.
Sir.
Good luck, Robin. Hope you glad you're feeling
Thanks
better.
A lot, buddy. Yes, sir.
Yeah, take care. Yes, sir. Got the update. What was your favorite part of that conversation?
How you doing, Wes? How you doing?
Matthew Hurt scoreless, and they almost choked on
Mighty
the wings.
Blue Devils.
Almost choked on the wings.
Well, that was a grinder Monday night now. I mean, the North Carolina game was one thing, but that was a grinder against Florida State on Monday. They got the Irish, as you mentioned, coming to town this weekend. Mm-hmm. A really important game for Notre Dame. Really important.
The third game tonight is Clemson at Pittsburgh.
Glob special. Pitt with a chance to get to 500 in the league. Now, there was somebody that was barking about Pitt before the season started, saying they're going to be a lower-tier team, going to be somewhere in the middle of the group. I really like this backcourt. And lo and behold, old Jeff Capel's got them playing some pretty good basketball.
When tonight, they would be 7-7.
7 up, 7 down.
And it'd take a little while to figure out, but I think it's safe to say been a long time since Pittsburgh was 500 in the ACC.
Well, given the fact that there was just a couple years back, they couldn't win a single game, for crying out loud. But Jeff's done a really nice job. And
sure has.
For the Tigers, they've lost 4 or 5. You did the game on Sunday night. They need to get Sims healthy. I don't know what his status is. He had the flu, unfortunately, on Sunday night. Clemson needs all hands on deck to win games.
Yeah.
It's tough enough from an offensive standpoint. You take Sims out of their lineup. But they'll have their hands full tonight on the road against a really good backcourt. But Clemson desperately needs a win to kind of get back on track. And Pitt, like I said, they keep building.
Yeah,
keep grinding around. Trying
they're
going to
have to shoot it well, Mark. Yeah. The bottom line is for Clemson to win the game, you know Pittsburgh's going to shoot and score. But Clemson will have to shoot it well, especially from the perimeter, I think. I'm interested to see this game tonight. Clemson finds itself at 5-8, Pittsburgh 6-7. They're right there together in the stack. How does that situate itself after the game tonight? You kind of look ahead to see where the rest of this falls. Clemson has Louisville at home. Tigers don't win tonight. It could be a little, tough little stretch here.
Oh, no question. And you know, you mentioned BC at 6-7, kind of a pleasant surprise. If they win tonight at Miami, they're 500. Pitt 6-7. They win at home tonight, they're 500. Again, you're starting to see separation now as you normally would as we get to the middle to late February.
And Pittsburgh, by the way, is at Virginia Tech on Saturday.
Another winnable game.
Yeah, Hokies have the week off. This could be a big week for Pittsburgh.
And it's a big week for Virginia Tech because they've lost 5 in a row, and you know they want to get back to playing and try to turn that thing around.
Bottom of the hour, halfway home on a Wednesday edition of Packer and Durham. And on the other side, we're going to visit with Joe Giglio. He and I were the subject of a tweet last night, by the way.
Who would not show up to on work on time?
No, didn't have really anything to do with that, but nice.
Just thought I'd ask.
We'll discuss the tweet and more when Joe G joins us. from the pages of the News and Observer in Raleigh, and we'll do that on the other side. Packer and Durham, ACC Network, Sirius XM 371.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, not to mention Sirius XM Channel 371. We'll get back to your phone calls as well at 844-SAY-ACCN. But right now we're joined by Joe Giglio of the Raleigh News and Observer. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Pack. How are you?
I can't complain, but I tell you what, old Kevin Keats and the boys roll out of bed this morning feeling pretty good about life. That was a really important win for the Wolfpack last night.
It was, and the way that they were able to come back in the second half after giving up the lead was probably the best part of it.
Joe, when you look at it, when NC State plays well, I mean, did you have the sense last night watching the game unfold this was a good night for NC State long before the game was decided? I mean, are there like landmarks for Keats's team when you know, okay, here's NC State shooting it well, defending? I mean, where kind of do you know where the pluses and the minuses are with these guys?
It's hard because you never really know with this team, like, who's going to be on. And I thought Devin Daniels and, you know, to be honest, the last 2 weeks, Devin's been their best player. And that hasn't always been the case. You know, they've kind of taken turns. It's been Markell Johnson. It's been C.J. Bryce. What would be great for Kevin Keats is to see all of them going in the same game.
The emergence, again, of C.J. Bryce, I think, is really critical. And they went through that downer after the big win against Virginia, and they got North Carolina, and they get pushed around in that game. C.J. Bryce disappeared for about two or three games. All of a sudden, he's come alive, and really kind of NC State's come alive. Those two last night, Daniels and Bryce, you combined for 42, you're going to beat a bunch of people.
Yeah, with C.J., you know, he got a concussion after he took an inadvertent shot to his face in a pregame warm-up practice. And Kevin said afterwards, I shouldn't have brought him back as soon as I did. But he doesn't really have any other choice because the kid's that important to the team. And you're seeing now, I think, really he's healthy. And he's the driver of the bus right now, and that's what they need from him.
You know, Joe, it's interesting, too, because just like seemingly every other team in this league, NC State's dealt with the injuries. You mentioned the one to Bryce. Jericho Helms has been banged up. And now Braxton Beverly is apparently gutting it out through some lower back pain, right? I mean, he has a hard time playing extended minutes, and then when he's on the bench, he spends most of the time either standing in a corner or trying to stretch it out, it looks like.
Yeah, it's been tough for him. It's been all year, too, and he's just trying to play through lower back pain. And obviously he's not the most athletically gifted player in the history of the world, but he adds some other value to the team, and he's trying to do that. And it's also kind of like what Kevin talked about with CJ. When do you play him? When do you not? And he goes to Braxton before every practice, before every game, and just says, hey, you know, if you can't go, just tell me. And but the kid, you know, insists on trying to be there for his team because they really are shorthanded. They have been shorthanded for most of the season.
All right, so you look to BC on Sunday and kind of where the rest of this exchange goes. Is last night, I mean, I don't want to use the term turning point, but is last night a chance for them to move another course and maybe in a positive way down the stretch here?
Yeah, let's put it this way. They didn't make the tournament last night, but if they do end up making the NCAA tournament, it's because of that game. Because there was no way home, in my opinion, short of, you know, sweeping Duke and Florida State, which, let's be honest, it's probably not going to happen, that they are going to end up on the board on Selection Sunday without that win last night. It was a Q1 win last night, even without Elijah Hughes for Syracuse. The committee doesn't look at that and go, oh, here's an asterisk. No, you won at Syracuse, and that's what it counts as. So it was a huge win for them and for those purposes, but it's almost like a step, Wes. It's not like, oh, now you're in. It's, okay, you had to have that step to get into the spot you want to be in.
Joe, to get in, you mentioned the two games with Duke and Florida State. Of those three, how many do you think they need to win to get in?
I think they have to get one. And then you're going to want to win twice in Greensboro. But, yeah, I think it's important for them to get another Q1 game under their belt. I think it's important for them probably to get to Greensboro and tie their shoes, if you will. You know, Kevin's had some struggles in the ACC tournament, and he needs to kind of turn that around a little bit. So we'll see, you know. But like you mentioned, you get a win like last night. That's the kind of thing you could build some confidence off of. Now they're going to Boston College, where they've not always had a lot of success on Sunday. So it's truly a one game, one day at a time approach for NC State.
All right, I want to change gears here with you, because you've been covering this NCAA investigation with NC State and the recruitment of Dennis Smith and Mark Gottfried and Orlando Early, his former assistant. Mark and I ran the statement from Chancellor Woodson yesterday on the show. Where do you think this is? Is this process going to play out quick? Are we kind of early in it? I mean, what do you get just from looking at the tea leaves of this whole deal?
Yeah, well, we're done with the responses, and now the next step is the hearing. Now, the question is, when, you know, Mark is still a coach at Cal State Northridge, he's going to want to be at that hearing, and the calendars all have to line up. So I don't know how quickly that can or can't be done. For NC State, the biggest issue, of course, is you had a former assistant coach involved in the alleged payment of a player. That makes this case unique. It also probably is the reason why this case, out of all of the Adidas FBI cases, is first, because of that circumstance. The big question for the Committee on Infractions is, are they going to punish NC State for coaches who are no longer there, or are they going to punish those coaches specifically? If you're Mark Gottfried, you have to be concerned that you're still an active coach. Orlando Early obviously has kind of made his peace. He's an NBA scout now. He's probably never going to coach in college basketball again.
Okay, here let me follow up here real quick. NC State has, in their mind, they've done everything they can potentially do, or do you think they are leery of what could come down the road here?
I think when they made, in their response, they tried to, not to get too deep into the weeds here, but in their response, they were trying to identify the source of the money. And what they were saying is it was a third party, Martin mm-hmm. Fox, not Adidas, who would you could qualify as a booster. The NCAA is saying, no, the source of the money was Adidas. That's a booster. It's an inducement versus a benefit. That's going to be up to the Committee on Infractions. They're the ones who have to decide which was it. You know, the testimony from TJ Gasnola says the money came from Martin Fox. If that's the case, then that's not Adidas paying Dennis Smith. That's a third party, which is a different punishment under NCAA rules. Remember, this isn't a court of law. This is right. The NCAA's rules, and they've all agreed to them. So that's what we saw in the North Carolina case. Those are the NCAA rules. You have to follow the NCAA rules. And I think that's where you'll see where the rubber meets the road. And truly, the only ones who know the answers to that are the people who are going to end up on the Committee on Infractions and in that hearing room.
I think the biggest concern maybe that Boo Cargan, Chancellor Woodson, and Kevin Keats have is, what's the impact on the current program, right? I mean, that's their number one concern coming out of all this?
I don't think it's this season, because I think you're talking, it would just have to move so quickly. And as you guys know, the NCAA really doesn't ever do anything quickly. Here we are in the middle of February, and there would certainly be an appeal process if there's some sort of postseason ban. So the biggest concern for NC State is they have a top 10 national recruiting class coming in next year. And obviously they'd like for that group to stay together, and they'd like for that group to know you're not going to miss any. There's no potential for you to miss a season of postseason play.
Okay.
By the way, switching gears, the anticipation of tomorrow night's NC State Louisville women's basketball game. What's the vibe in Raleigh? I got to figure that people are absolutely going crazy over that one.
Yeah, there's some excitement for women's basketball at NC State. They're number 4 in the country. I asked Wes Moore yesterday about just seeing your name ahead of UConn's in the rankings. You know, that's not something you see every day. And I know it's air quotes down year for UConn women, but obviously to see just to be in front of them is a pretty big deal. And I think the way that they are, they're 22-1. They've won some good games already against Maryland and Florida State. Louisville's been a little bit of a nemesis for them, though. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach that challenge Thursday night at Reynolds Coliseum. But yeah, top 10 game. NC State hasn't won the women's title since 1991. So yeah, there's Wes has a lot of good things happening for him, and it should be a fun night at Reynolds.
Hey, Joe, have you been to
the AFC network?
That's it. You get perfect cross promotion. Yeah. Have you been to an NC State wrestling match?
I have, not this season, but I have. Pat Papaluccio does a really good job, and they've got Virginia Tech on Friday night at Reynolds, and that is pretty much every year for the ACC title. So
Wow. That's
they had a great crowd for the Carolina match that they won at Reynolds last week, and they've done an amazing job. All the Triangle schools, North Carolina, Duke, they're all coached by Oklahoma State guys. Pop is an Oklahoma State guy, too. It's kind of interesting how that program has kind of filtered into the Triangle and really lifted ACC wrestling. It's been fairly amazing.
Hey, Joe, before we let you go, it's amazing that you and I got looped into a tweet last night. Apparently, we're going to be responsible to see if NC State's road efficiency can continue. Craig Hamill, who handles basketball communications for the Wolfpack last night, used Joe and I as the subject of a tweet. And that the big key to the 2-0 stretch is Joe's been in Raleigh. Rumor is he's planning to be at BC on Sunday with Malcolm Huckabee and me. Joe, I had no idea we had that kind of power.
Well, I've called a couple plays and I've given a couple of halftime speeches unbeknownst to you. So I'm going to see if I can handle the scouting report this week, and maybe I'll let you handle the timeouts and maybe some clock management. How about that?
And you know what we're going to do? We're going to position you right behind our courtside location where the media sits at BC so that you'll get full credit for ACC Network, too. How's that?
Our guy, Mike LePray, will definitely take care of us.
There you go. Thanks a lot. Take care, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
And don't forget, we talk about wrestling. Pack Friday night. Friday night duels, top 10. We're living in the top 10.
The ACC's got four teams ranked in the top 9.
Wow.
You heard me. Top 9. Four from the league.
Sean Kenny, Rock Harrison.
Raccoon Valley.
That's it.
The Rock.
Yep. Valvano Arena, Reynolds Coliseum, Friday night, 7 o'clock. Hokies and Pack right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. All right, coming up. This week's edition of Over Under. Plenty to go. What's the over under? I'm on time tomorrow. Not very good. Take a break. Come back. More Packer and Durham coming up on ACC Network Sirius XM 371.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, not to mention Sirius XM Channel 371. We'll get back to your phone calls as well at 844-SAY-ACCN. But right now we are joined by Joe Giglio of the Raleigh News and Observer. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Pack. How are you?
I can't complain, but I tell you what, old Kevin Keats and the boys roll out of bed this morning feeling pretty good about life. That was a really important win for the Wolfpack last night.
It was, and the way that they were able to come back in the second half after giving up the lead was probably the best part of it.
Joe, when you look at it, when NC State plays well, I mean, did you have the sense last night watching the game unfold this was a good night for NC State long before the game was decided? I mean, are there like landmarks for Keats' team when you know, okay, here's NC State, shooting it well, defending. I mean, where kind of do you know where the pluses and the minuses are with these guys?
It's hard because you never really know with this team, like, who's going to be on. And I thought Devin Daniels, and, you know, to be honest, the last 2 weeks, Devin's been their best player. And that hasn't always been the case. You know, they've kind of taken turns. It's been Markell Johnson. It's been C.J. Bryce. What would be great for Kevin Keats is to see all of them going in the same game.
The emergence, again, of C.J. Bryce, I think, is really critical. And they went through that downer after the big win against Virginia, and they got North Carolina, and they get pushed around in that game. C.J. Bryce disappeared for about 2 or 3 games. All of a sudden, he's come alive, and really kind of NC State's come alive. Those two last night, Daniels and Bryce, you combined for 42, you're going to beat a bunch of people.
Yeah, with CJ, you know, he got a concussion after he took an inadvertent shot to his face in a pregame warm-up practice. And Kevin said afterwards, I shouldn't have brought him back as soon as I did. Mm. But he doesn't really have any other choice because the kid's that important to the team. And you're seeing now, I think, really he's healthy. And he's the driver of the bus right now, and that's what they need from him.
You know, Joe, it's interesting, too, because just like seemingly every other team in this league, NC State's dealt with the injuries. You mentioned the one to Bryce. Jericho Helms has been banged up. And now Braxton Beverly is apparently gutting it out through some lower back pain, right? I mean, he has a hard time playing extended minutes. And then when he's on the bench, he spends most of the time either standing in a corner or trying to stretch it out, it looks like.
Yeah, it's been tough for him. It's been all year, too. And he's just trying to play through lower back pain. And obviously, he's not the most athletically gifted player in the history of the world. But he adds some other value to the team, and he's trying to do that. And it's also kind of like what Kevin talked about with CJ. When do you play him? When do you not? And he goes to Braxton before every practice, before every game, and just says, hey, you know, if you can't go, just tell me. And but the kid, you know, insists on trying to be there for his team because they really are shorthanded. They have been shorthanded for most of the season.
All right, so you look to BC on Sunday and kind of where the rest of this exchange goes. Is last night, I mean, I don't want to use the term turning point, but is last night a chance for them to move another course and maybe in a positive way down the stretch here?
Yeah, let's put it this way. They didn't make the tournament last night, but if they do end up making the NCAA tournament, it's because of that game. Because there was no way home, in my opinion, short of, you know, sweeping Duke and Florida State, which, let's be honest, is probably not going to happen, that they are going to end up on the board on Selection Sunday without that win last night. It was a Q1 win last night, even without Elijah Hughes for Syracuse. The committee doesn't look at that and go, oh, here's an asterisk. No, you won at Syracuse, and that's what it counts as. So it was a huge win for them and for those purposes, but it's almost like a step, Wes. It's not like, oh, now you're in. It's, okay, you had to have that step to get into the spot you want to be in.
Joe, to get in, you mentioned the two games with Duke and Florida State. Of those three, how many do you think they need to win to get in?
I think they have to get one. And then you're going to want to win twice in Greensboro. But, yeah, I think it's important for them to get another Q1 game under their belt. I think it's important for them probably to get to Greensboro and tie their shoes, if you will. You know, Kevin's had some struggles in the ACC tournament, and he needs to kind of turn that around a little bit. So we'll see, you know. But like you mentioned, you get a win like last night, that's the kind of thing you can build some confidence off of. Now they're going to Boston College, where they've not always had a lot of success on Sunday. So it's truly a one game, one day at a time approach for NC State.
All right, I want to change gears here with you because you've been covering this NCAA investigation with NC State and the recruitment of Dennis Smith and Mark Gottfried and Orlando Early, his former assistant. Mark and I ran the statement from Chancellor Woodson yesterday on the show. Where do you think this is? Is this process going to play out quick? Are we kind of early in it? I mean, what do you get just from looking at the tea leaves of this whole deal?
Yeah, well, we're done with the responses, and now the next step is the hearing. Now, the question is, when, you know, Mark is still a coach at Cal State Northridge, he's going to want to be at that hearing, and the calendars all have to line up. So I don't know how quickly that can or can't be done. For NC State, the biggest issue, of course, is you had a former assistant coach involved in the alleged payment of a player. That makes this case unique. It also probably is the reason why this case, out of all of the Adidas FBI cases, is first, because of that circumstance. The big question for the Committee on Infractions is, are they going to punish NC State for coaches who are no longer there, or are they going to punish those coaches specifically? If you're Mark Gottfried, you have to be concerned that you're still an active coach. Orlando Early obviously has kind of made his peace. He's an NBA scout now. He's probably never going to coach in college basketball again.
Okay, here let me follow up here real quick. NC State has, in their mind, they've done everything they can potentially do, or do you think they are leery of what could come down the road here?
I think when they made, in their response, they tried to, not to get too deep into the weeds here, but in their response, they were trying to identify the source of the money. And what they were saying is it was a third party, Martin mm-hmm. Fox, not Adidas, who would you could qualify as a booster. The NCAA is saying, no, the source of the money was Adidas. That's a booster. It's an inducement versus a benefit. That's going to be up to the Committee on Infractions. They're the ones who have to decide which was it. You know, the testimony from TJ Gastola says the money came from Martin Fox. If that's the case, then that's not Adidas paying Dennis Smith. That's a third party, which is a different punishment under NCAA rules. Remember, this isn't a court of law. This is right. the NCAA's rules, and they've all agreed to them. So that's what we saw in the North Carolina case. Those were the NCAA rules. You have to follow the NCAA rules. And I think that's where you'll see where the rubber meets the road. And truly, the only ones who know the answers to that are the people who are going to end up on the Committee on Infractions and in that hearing room.
I think the biggest concern maybe that Boo Cargan, Chancellor Woodson, and Kevin Keats have is what's the impact on the current program, right? I mean, that's their number one concern coming out of all this?
I don't think it's this season, because I think you're talking, it would just have to move so quickly. And as you guys know, the NCAA really doesn't ever do anything quickly. Here we are in the middle of February, and there would certainly be an appeal process if there's some sort of postseason ban. So the biggest concern for NC State is they have a top 10 national recruiting class coming in next year, and obviously they'd like for that group to stay together, and they'd like for that group to know you're not going to miss any – there's no potential for you to miss a season of postseason play.
Okay. By the way, switching gears, the anticipation of tomorrow night's NC State-Louisville women's basketball game. What's the vibe in Raleigh? I got to figure that people are absolutely going crazy over that one.
Yeah, there's some excitement for women's basketball at NC State. They're number four in the country. I asked Wes Moore yesterday about just seeing your name ahead of UConn in the rankings. You know, that's not something you see every day. And I know it's air quotes down year for UConn women, but obviously to see just to be in front of them is a pretty big deal. And I think the way that they are, they're 22-1, they've won some good games already against Maryland and Florida State. Louisville's been a little bit of a nemesis for them though. So it'll be interesting to see how they approach that challenge Thursday night at Reynolds Coliseum. But yeah, top 10 game. NC State hasn't won the women's title since 1991. So yeah, there's West has a lot of good things happening for him, and it should be a fun night at Reynolds.
Hey, Joe, have you been to
on the AFC network?
That's it. You get perfect cross promotion. Yeah. Have you been to an NC State wrestling match?
I have, not this season, but I have. Pat Papaluccio does a really good job, and they've got Virginia Tech on Friday night at Reynolds, and that is pretty much every year for the ACC title. So
wow.
That's they had a great crowd for the Carolina match that they won at Reynolds last week. And they've done an amazing job. All the Triangle schools, North Carolina, Duke, they're all coached by Oklahoma State guys. Pop is an Oklahoma State guy, too. It's kind of interesting how that program has kind of filtered into the Triangle and really lifted ACC wrestling. It's been fairly amazing.
Hey, Joe, before we let you go, it's amazing that you and I got looped into a tweet last night. Apparently, we're going to be responsible to see if NC State's road efficiency can continue. Craig Hamill, who handles basketball communications for the Wolfpack last night, used Joe and I as the subject of a tweet, in that the big key to the 2-0 stretch is Joe's been in Raleigh. Rumor is he's planning to be at BC on Sunday with Malcolm Huckabee and me. Joe, I had no idea we had that kind of power.
Well, I've called a couple plays and I've given a couple of halftime speeches unbeknownst to you. So I'm going to see if I can handle the scouting report this week, and maybe I'll let you handle the timeouts and maybe some clock management. How about that?
And you know what we're going to do? We're going to position you right behind our courtside location where the media sits at BC so that you'll get full credit for ACC Network, too. How's that?
Our guy, Mike Lepre, will definitely take care of us.
There you go. Thanks a lot. Take care, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
And don't forget, we talk about wrestling. PAC, Friday night. Friday night duels. Top 10. We're living in the top 10.
The ACC's got four teams ranked in the top 9.
Wow.
You heard me. Top 9. Four Sean, from the league.
Sean Kenny, Rock Harrison.
Raccoon Valley.
That's it.
And the Rock.
Yep. Valvano Arena, Reynolds Coliseum, Friday night, 7 o'clock. Hokies and PAC right here on ACC Network. streaming live on the ESPN app. All right, coming up, this week's edition of Over Under. Plenty to go. What's the over under? I'm on time tomorrow. Not very good. Take a break. Come back. More Packer and Durham coming up on ACC Network Sirius XM 371.
Thank you for listening to the Packer and Durham podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the ACC Network, Sirius XM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.